want us to turn our Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians, second chapter here in 1 Corinthians. And we'll have a little bit to say about Paul. Paul was sent to Corinth. Corinth was a very wicked city. I don't know if you know that or not, but verse 2. And you'll see why that Paul was shaking and with those things. I can hardly imagine the Apostle Paul saying these things, because he said, none of these things move me. But it was in his younger ministry also, and then when Corinth was a wide open town and the most wicked city in the world at that day. Yep. The Corinth was. And listen to what it says, 1 Corinthians 2, 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ Jesus and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Listen to that. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes which are of the world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God, a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, that God ordained before the world our glory, which none of these princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I want to stop right there just a minute. Paul had been called to Corinth. And as I said before, Corinth was the most wicked city at that time in the whole world. It was the cross sections of stops for people from China and all the parts of the world. And it was the death city, so to speak, and the sin city of the world. And you see, God is looking out for us. Our nation, if we don't watch it, is going to be a sin nation of the world. Wouldn't that be something? But Paul said, I was with you, and I wasn't speaking great swelling words and stuff like that. But he said, I was with you in trembling. And notice what he said. But we speak the wisdom of God, a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, that God ordained before the world our glory. Now he said, well, I didn't come with you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said, I was shaking. I was trembling. I didn't know what to think, in other words. But I went ahead and I done what God told me to do. Because the eye is not seen and ear is not heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. Now I want you to notice God has revealed us to us by his Spirit, us. Us means more than two, and Peter said that he wrote his book to us, them that had obtained like precious faith with us. So us means two or more. But Paul said here, he said, the demonstration of the power of God, I had to act as God said. I had to let the power of God move in me, and the power of God move. It had to be demonstrated by the power of God. As I said, Corinth was the most wicked city in the world. It's where they traded slaves. It's where they were the most prostituted town in the world. It was the biggest drinking place in the world. The Chinese passed their opium and things passed through there, and it was a very wicked place. And just think about this. If you was a preacher and God called you and said, you go to there and preach, would you do it? Would we dare to go? Now, Paul said it wasn't easy. He said, I was shaking. I was trembling. Because I was looking, in other words, what I was doing is looking around, and I seen this there. I seen murder here. I seen this there. I seen all kinds of things going on. And he said, I was trembling. I'm going to have to preach to this, but I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it with the power of God and the demonstration of the power of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost. I'm going to do that. So Paul has got things lined up here that he's going to do. He's going to win some souls. Shame on us if we don't do what God tells us to do. I don't know if you'd ever had your life threatened, but I have since I've been preaching. I have had my life threatened and a shotgun pulled upon me at the pulpit. They took it away from him, and 27 people run to the altar and got saved that night. You know who was the first one that got saved? His daughter, 29 years old. This man wandered around in this community for a long time and had a church revival going on there in that county. And one night I looked back there and here he come through the church door. I just kept on preaching. I didn't know what he's going to do. They didn't know what he's going to do. They was more scared than I was, but the intent was towards me. But I didn't know what to do, so I just started preaching. And you know, when I got all about halfway through my sermon, I seen him rise up out of his seat, and I seen him coming towards the front, and when he got to the altar, he just fell across that altar and began to weep and weep and weep and weep. And I went over finally to just kneel down there over him and pray. And he grabbed me around the neck and he hugged me. And you know, it started a revival in that community. And sometimes, God, we have to go through a little something to receive what God wants us to do. You know, anger, our world is full of anger. They don't know. You ask them, they don't know what they're mad about. They're just angry. Angry. They'll just call off and kill you for nothing because they're angry. They don't know what they're angry about. But you see, the God's Word tells them what they're angry about. Because they need to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Jesus said, I am the way, John 14:6, and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so sometimes we're going to have to face something maybe like Paul had here. We don't know what's ahead of us tomorrow. You don't know what's ahead of you next week. You don't know what's ahead of you on your job. You don't know what's going to happen in your home. You don't know what's going to happen in the church. We're living in a perilous time, and that's what Paul wrote. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men's going to be lovers of their own self, proud. All these kind of things. But I don't see anything to be proud of. I don't see anything to have pride for. All I can see is there's some things that we need to hit our knees to the floor and begin to pray and seek God until God begins to move in our churches again and begins to get our loved ones saved again and begin to see the power of God move again and begin to see people shouting again. I'd like to see some shouting. Somebody said, when you shout, if it's in the Spirit, you go ahead and shout. I'll get right down there with you and shout, but it'll have to be in the Spirit. I don't believe in carnality. I believe in spirituality. I don't believe in something that's not got no power, but I believe in the power of God. It's the power of God under salvation. So let's go back here to this here again. It said, where it says in verse 9, Paul writing this, but as it is written, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Listen to that. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which in him? Even so, the things that God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us. We need to know what's given to us. Every one of you's got things given to you. Cost you nothing. Jesus died. He paid it all. He's the one that's got the power. And it says, which things also we speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. How many knows the Holy Ghost is our teacher? And hardly anybody's got it anymore. No wonder people can't get taught. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit, will teach us. And that same anointing, 1 John chapter
2, verse 27,
it says that same anointing will teach you by the Spirit that dwells in us. Had Jesus had that same anointing will teach me, it'll teach you, the anointing teaches us. The yoke is destroyed, Isaiah 10:27, that the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. I depend on the Holy Ghost to teach me. And he'll quicken our mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in us. So we teach us, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, look here, the natural man. Our natural man doesn't know anything hardly. But our spiritual man on the inside can really get a lot if we can just allow ourselves to meditate and pray and do what God wants us to do. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You know, if we'd get all the Spirit here tonight, and the natural man, some of them come in, they'd say, they're crazy. They're foolish. But ain't we having fun? Now, I don't mind being foolish if I can have fun. Church people go to church to have a good time, don't go to church and find out what's wrong with everything. If something's wrong, why, you do something about it, get straightened out, and God, he'll bless you. But people go to church for different and various things in the hour that we live today, to see. But they did years ago, too. I remember when they had brush arbors in the hills and the hollers in Missouri there, during the Depression, didn't have nothing else to do, so might as well have a revival. So they built brush arbors and had revivals in those halls. You know what? They got accused of everything. People said that they had stuff, they had a handkerchief, you know, wiping their eyes, and they said they had handkerchiefs with powders in them, throwing them on the people to make them back crazy. All kinds of things they're going to say about you. And one thing that people do, you don't want to do anything that people think is silly or something like that, because they might think you're one of them. Well, I'm glad to say I am one of them. I'm so glad to say I'm one of them. But there was a time I wouldn't believe it. There was a time I was raised against it. But I'm for it now. And the Lord has raised me up and to preach the gospel. Not a ministry great as Paul's, nothing like it maybe, but to preach the gospel, and I have saw thousands of people saved and thousands of people filled with the Holy Ghost, and all kinds of things have happened in the 57 years of my ministry, and I still understand what God is trying to do, and he's trying to use me more and more still yet. Amen. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not but the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Now Paul said, I wasn't preaching like the man's world. I was shaking. I was trembling. And I got it out anyway. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, again. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Just think, all the things that we know that they don't know, huh? They're the ones that's foolish. I know a whole lot more than I know when I was out there in the nightclub. Huh? I know a whole lot more now than I did when I was drinking Jim Beam whiskey. I know more now than to get out and have a brawls in the streets and fight, get black eyes and maybe black somebody else's eyes. I know better than that now. I don't never have a hangover anymore because I know better than that, brother. I know better. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 and 5 adds to that, and it said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He wants us to have his mind. If I have his mind, then I know the things he's trying to prove to me. Let this mind be in you, the spiritual mind. The spiritual mind. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, Paul got all this over to them, and they were having a great time here in Corinth. Incidentally, I had the opportunity about 40-some years ago to walk down the streets of old Corinth where the buildings tore down, and you could still yet just feel as you went through there, you could feel something there. Still yet. I've got to stand on the place on Mars Hill where Paul preached his famous message there on Mars Hill. God allowed me to do that. I always wanted to, and I got to do that by the help of a lot of good people that wanted to see me do that. Now, in the third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, we begin to find that since the church had got started and everything was working real good, then confusion would come in. How many knows about confusion? God is not the author of confusion. How many knows that? Anytime it's a confusion, it's not of God, because God is not the author of confusion. If you're confused, it's not of God, because he's not the author of confusion. But look what he's saying here as he goes on into this chapter here. And things begin to happen to hinder the church. Had a good crowd. The one called Apollos was doing some preaching. Paul was doing some teaching. They were having a good time in the Lord. Church is rolling on real good. And then let's look here at chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as to spiritual, but as unto carnal. Now he said, when I first came, I could only speak to you as carnal. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, he said. Now he told these people. Here are these old people, the good old boys that got saved, that was out there killing people, into all the drug rings and all those kind of things. Now they got saved, and Paul had told them, he said, I couldn't speak to you now as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now why? Here's what Paul said. I have fed you with milk. Church, I'll guarantee you, everyone in this building has been fed the milk of the word. But you've got to go a little more than milk. And this is what we're going to get into. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are you now able. Neither are you now able. So many years saved and still on milk. Been saved so many years and still can't eat meat. The preacher gets a little bit stout while we're offended. Try to teach them something good, you know, and they're upset about it. I just didn't like that sermon. Well, we're going to go on here. There's some more on here. I really want you to get this because it's going to help you. It'll help the leadership of this church, and it'll help you that's babe still in Christ. It's for everybody. Now, listen to me right here. He said in verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. Do you ever think sometimes somebody maybe been saved 40 years and still carnal? They're out there. from your carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife. So that calls carnal, envy and strife. Of course, you folks don't have that here, but we have it up in Missouri. I deal with it all time, but it don't take me long to get it settled down very quick. Strife, there's envy and strife. He said, you've got this carnality, not because of the preaching, but because there's envy and strife. You are carnal and walk as men. Carnal. While one saith, I'm of Paul. Now watch this right here. I want every one of you to get this. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Every time you get things all going real good and straightened out, somebody will get in and come in and say, I like this preacher better than I like that. Well, you don't have that up here. We have it all in Missouri. No. There's carnality here, but you can get rid of it tonight. You can get rid of it. Paul said, for while one saith, I'm of Paul, another saith, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom will you believe, even as the Lord hath gave to me and to every man? Now, here's what was happening here. Paul and Apollos had been helping Paul. Paul sowed, Apollos watered, or vice versa. And they were doing real good till somebody come along and said, I like Paul's ministry better than I like Apollos. So Paul said, wait a minute here. One sows and the other waters, but it's God that gives the increase. It's God that gives the increase. See, if we do this thing right, everybody has a ministry. Every person sitting here, you've got a ministry of winning souls, if nothing else. You've got a ministry you ought to be down praying, if nothing else. You've got a ministry that you ought to be in the church house to minister to people. Every time that church house is open, door, you need to be in this house. Praise the Lord. You need to be there. You need to be prayed up when you come to church. Church is not where you come to get prayed up. Church is where you act out what you prayed up for all week. We need to get in the way of the Lord. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. He said, no man can come to the Father but by me. God is dealing with the church. What I'm preaching tonight is not anger or something against you. I'm preaching something that's truth because I love you. Sometimes preachers go, they say they love people, but they never do any correction. They never do these things. What if you see, that's what's the matter with the world with our children today. They've never been corrected. Amen. Mom and dad sits on a bar stool while they're set to 8 and 10 years old, and they've never been corrected, never been instructed, never been taken care of. Leave them, drop them off anywhere. Get rid of them so we can go out honky-tonking. We're talking about things that's happening in our nation. We're talking about things that's happening in our churches. We're talking about things that's happening in the ministry. We're talking about things that's happening in the congregations. So what Paul's really saying, who is Paul, he said. And who is Apollos? And he says in verse 6, I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Paul said, I have planted. He said, I've done my job by planting. Paul has come right along behind and watered. And then God come along and gave an increase. Gave an increase. Oh, listen, God will increase when we get prepared for it. I'll tell you, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 said, sow in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. What is he saying here? Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. When we get our ground broke up and we get everything just right, the rain will come down, the water will come down. And if it doesn't, one will sow in another water. Sow in righteousness, it said. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek him until he's come and reign righteousness upon him. Now here's what Paul's going ahead and saying. So then neither, verse 7, is he that planteth anything, Neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So don't worry about what Paul's planted. Don't worry about what Paulus has watered. Just thank God for the increase that God gave. He done it at the hand of two people working together to get this job done. Paul sowing, Apollos watering. But who is Paul? He's just a man that sows the seed. Who am I? I just sow seed. If you water it, it'll come up. If you've got your fallow ground broke up, you're going to have something from God. God will not leave you out. He'll bless you. Psalms 1:1 said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of the sinner, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Every one of us here tonight, we can get in a place where we will prosper regardless of what comes against us. Amen. Then there's the quitting spirit. You know, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit praying. I'm going to quit going to church. I'm going to quit this, and I'm going to quit that, and I'm going to quit something else. Well, we got a few things to quit that will really help things if we really get down to business with it. Listen to what he said here some more. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man that receive his own reward according to his own labor. So how much you sow and how much you water and how much you reap, that's in there. He'll provide it for you. You want to read that again? Let's read that again. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, whatever he does is what you're going to get. You're not going to get a whole good crop and go out and plant a half a dozen seeds. You got to plant, you got to water. And long as somebody's doing their job, my Lord, let that person who is nothing, Paul says, he said, I'm nothing. Paul says nothing, but God who what? But God that gives the increase. It's God who sent the power down to grow this thing. He's the one that's doing that. For we are laborers together with God and God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You know that? You're God's building. God's building. So we've got to take care of it. How many know we are God's building? This building belongs to God. Right here, the outer court here. But you're the building. You're the real building. Not this building. Beautiful building. Great. Wonderful to have a nice building like this. But God wants his income through water and sowing to take place. For we are laborers together with God and are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, Paul said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth on thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build on that foundation of gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Work's going to be tried. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself be saved, yet so by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. This is the last night, you know, we'll be ministering here. And I trust that you take this message in the spiritual realm and apply it to your life, to your soul, and to your body. And apply this and get it going in your hearts and life. I don't know if any person here is state of spirituality or labors. I don't know. And you know something else? I don't want to know. If somebody in here is doing something wrong, I don't want to know about that. Huh? And if you know about it, you need to be praying for them instead of talking about it. Huh? God wants us to get down to business. It's harvest time.